Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Two other recent murders allegedly committed by young teenagers have also raised questions about how the state treats juvenile criminals. Last week, a 15-year-old from Mattapan was charged with fatally shooting a man in the South End, and a 14-year-old was charged with stabbing a man to death in Dorchester. By state law, the two are automatically being tried as adults and could face mandatory life sentences without parole. But the Massachusetts child advocate, Gail Geringer, has been calling for changes in how we sentence juveniles for murder. She joined us here in the studio to explain why, and started by talking about that recent U.S. Supreme Court case at issue, the case which struck down automatically giving juveniles life without parole.
Clearly, the language in that opinion points out that we have to respond differently to young people. Also, I just want to mention that the two recent murders in Massachusetts allegedly committed by juveniles is an aberration.
What do you mean by that?
I mean in the sense that youth arrests for violent crimes only account for about 5% of all juvenile arrests each year. And to have two murders allegedly committed by teenagers within the span of a week, I can think of no time in Massachusetts history where that's been the case.
As I understand it, you'd rather focus on trying to rehabilitate these teens, but does the state know the best way to do that?
Well, I think the best way to do that is to take cues from what we're learning from our own Department of Youth Services in terms of how they attempt to zero in on the individual who is in their custody and offer the array of services that's going to give the opportunity for the best shot at rehabilitation. We also learned from the Supreme Court opinion and learn from recent brain science that juvenile brains are different and that they really, at the same time that their immaturity leads them to commit acts of violence at times, that same immaturity in the forming brain allows them to be key candidates for rehabilitation.
It might be argued that not all juveniles can be rehabilitated, that some, even though they're at a young age, may simply be psychopaths.
There's nothing in my advocacy that suggests that there may not be individuals who need to be incarcerated for the rest of their lives. What I'm talking about is a meaningful opportunity to have a hearing, both in front of a judge at the time of sentencing. That's what Miller taught us, individualized sentencing, not automatic life without parole.
You're saying, essentially, then, let the system work. The kid goes to jail, and let the system work, and let the system determine whether that now inmate should be eligible for parole or not.
Clearly, I'm actually talking about two decision points. One, giving the judge discretion to formulate an individualized sentence that responds to the information in front of the judge at the time. And then also having down the road a meaningful chance for the youth to present evidence to the parole board that he or she is a candidate for release.
What do you say to families of victims in these horrible cases who may well be looking for the deepest punishment possible?
I was a judge. I'm a mother. My heart goes out to victims in these cases. I think what we're saying is we can't decide at 16 whether someone needs to be locked up for life.
And do you think there's support up on Beacon Hill to get these kinds of changes passed?
Since the Miller decision and even before the Miller decision, there's been a lot of ongoing discussion among legislature, the administration, and advocates in terms of how to respond. As you know, we now have a law in Massachusetts that's unconstitutional. We have to do something. I think we should take this as an opportunity to really, within the spirit of the Miller decision, take our time and fashion a new law in the sentencing system that is the most appropriate one in dealing with juveniles.
Then do you think that if the Massachusetts law is not passed, there'll be a court challenge?
Oh, I think there is a court challenge in the works. As you may know, we have 62 persons currently incarcerated under the old sentencing scheme of juvenile life without parole. And my understanding is that some of those cases are winding themselves up to probably the Supreme Judicial Court here in Massachusetts.
Gail Geringer, good to meet you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Gail Geringer is the child advocate for Massachusetts and is also a former juvenile court judge.